coming to you live from the city that time forgot. It's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D.
Never left.
Now, your favorite blacksmith, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another fresh week of shows here at Nate Darling Entertainment.
Ooh.
Wow.
Studio.
NDS Entertainment. Nate Darling Show Entertainment. That's us. So much stuff has happened. We've got a lot to talk about. Becca is back after a week away. Welcome back.
Thank you.
There's that voice you all missed.
Yes. Yes, we had Nick last week.
That's the voice she missed, I think.
I missed it, too.
It's true. We'll explain why Becca missed her own voice. we'll talk about an improv show that happened on Saturday night. and even recap a story that happened to be in the show that we talked about. That was the show that happened.
That's meta.
And speaking of the land that time forgot, man, I could have used the constable last night.
Oh.
Yeah. So, got my cell phone was absconded with outside the Sacramento Comedy Spot. And to be fair, it is partially my fault because I did, like a dumbass, put it down next to where I was sitting and I walked away. And when I came back a few minutes later, the phone was gone. When I called it, it went to voicemail after like 8 rings. And it wasn't my voicemail. It was, you've reached the voicemail of 916 blank, 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 blank,
so
blank.
So fast. So efficient.
Yeah.
It was
like the most efficient thievery.
And no option to leave a message. So they grabbed it, erased it. And I'm far from the first person to get their cell phone stolen in that neighborhood. And I'm not even the first comedian to get my cell phone stolen in that area. So SAC PD, thanks for being there. After all that happened, I came home.
Did you file a police report?
I did file a police report. I tried calling the non-emergency number, and unless someone is killing you at that very moment, they want you to file the report online and not bother them. So I did, and this is the email that you get back. Your online report has been successfully received and the tracking number is blank. You will be notified via email of any problems with your report. Once your report is approved, it will be issued a case number and you'll receive a PDF copy as an attachment in your email within approximately 5 business days.
Oh, good.
For the police, isn't every day a business day? When did they just go, hey, you know, 5 days a week, that's good for us. We're good. Yeah, 9 to 5, we're done. thank you for using our online reporting system because I had a choice. And please contact us with any suggestions you have for improving our system. How about you have somebody I can effing talk to? How about that?
Why didn't you file that suggestion online and they'll get back to you?
I'll get back to that. And then it's signed Online Officer, Sacramento Police Department. Online Officer, my ass. That's an auto-respond. There's nobody there. There's no online officer.
Does the online officer have to be a human being? Can it just be a program?
It's actually Oline.
Yeah, Oline.
Oline. It's like Oline, officer. He gets that a lot.
So, yeah.
Scott Oline.
But you know, all things considered, there was no robbery. I wasn't threatened. I wasn't hurt anything. And I've got insurance on the phone. So it'll cost me about $150 to replace it. So not the end of the world. It was just kind of a bummer. And in fact, the night before, there were two gay fellows who were attacked by 5 Hispanic men next to the old spaghetti factory.
That's terrible.
It is. So,
which is right behind the Comedy Spot.
Yeah, it's on the back side of the building.
What
so
is
it's
going
right
on
in the neighborhood. Yeah, so hey, SAC PD, how about if you're not going to actually take calls from people, how about you sort of patrol in the area where a lot of people congregate in the evenings, on the weekends?
They do that.
Really? Because I don't see the only time I see them is on Second Saturday when they watch people prance around for Second Saturday and roam about. I don't see them. There was nobody out last night. There were no cops out last night. I didn't see anybody.
It wasn't a business day.
No, yeah, it was not. It was Saturday. Why would they be out in a high traffic night spot area on a Saturday night, 20 hours after people were assaulted? I don't know. Anyway.
So just because you didn't see them for the period of time when you weren't looking for them prior to when your phone was stolen, they weren't patrolling anywhere.
They were
in the neighborhood.
They were nowhere in the neighborhood. If they're there, I see them.
Okay.
What do you think? They're not hiding.
Can't see. Like, so if they're not just driving back and forth along 20th Street or J Street, it doesn't count.
No, it doesn't. I see cops when they're out on patrol. I see them when they're on patrol. They are not hiding. They have police written big block letters.
It's a little bit ridiculous to just assume because you didn't see them during... I mean, you weren't...
I was outside for an hour before the show on Saturday night. I did not see a single cop.
Okay.
Not one.
Therefore,
there weren't any cops patrolling for at least an hour in that neighborhood in a very high traffic area.
On that street.
Yes, the most
high traffic
street.
Well, you weren't watching J&K Street. I think it's a silly assertion. I think it's silly. You don't know where they were. You don't know.
Yeah, I know where they weren't. They weren't in
on
that.
On 20th.
Yeah, they weren't on that block where there are literally hundreds of people. That's where they weren't. Keep defending them. It'll work out well for you. Anyway, if you'd like to call the show, you can call and leave a message. It's 818-861-6283. Or you can email us, natedarlingshow@gmail.com. Yeah. Keep defending them because they're doing a fabulous job. I mean, because
your phone was stolen.
Because people are getting jumped in parking lots because several people had their phones stolen. Because 2 weeks ago, there were a rash of holdups around Midtown. I mean, it's not an isolated incident. It's not all just about my phone. It's all because there is an increase in crime and not really an increase in patrols.
Right. Because there hasn't been an increase in money. Patrols.
That I can believe.
Not enough of it. So.
Yeah, that's fine. So they don't need to be out.
No, they do.
They don't need to be
out. Don't listen to him. He's crazy.
That's right. Don't bother. Don't come out. Don't come out. Just hang out, you know, whatever. Let the online officer take the reports, and everything will be fine.
Was it actually signed online officer without a name?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yes, it's signed online. I read that verbatim.
That is amazing.
Everything but. And that's fine. It was a small property crime, and it's not a big deal. And they do say that if you are being attacked, to please call 911.
That's a good tip.
But there was another time a few months ago, there was someone outside on the sidewalk who was like moaning and wailing. And I called, actually got somebody and spoke to somebody. And they're like, yeah, you're not the first person to call. We can't send anybody over.
Oh.
So I don't know. It's just somebody moaning and wailing out on the sidewalk. I have no idea what's wrong with them because it was, you know, 2 a.m. and whatever. But yeah, they couldn't send anybody by. It's far too busy. So, anyway, welcome back, Becca.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here in this loving environment.
No, it's fine. Would you like to defend more people who are obviously not present and doing their job?
Oh.
No.
Okay, good. So what were you doing last week?
Well, for the last 12 days, really, I was in North Fork, California. Ow! Oh, sorry.
The cat's attacking
her. Cat toe in my foot. Sorry, that wasn't like North Fork. Ow! Yeah, like it was just another happenstance. Okay, cat is now rubbing my foot. Everything's better. So I was in North Fork, California at a Vipassana Meditation Center where I completed a 10-day silent meditation course. And I have only been back and talking and like in this world for like 2-3 hours maybe. And so basically, I guess what I'm trying to tell the listeners is that I spent the last, you know, week and a half not speaking and meditating on one thing only, which was being equanimous and not just reacting to things. And I know that like my whole job on this show is to talk and react to things. Mm-hmm. And so I've never been restier in my whole life. So we can see how it goes, I guess.
So did anybody talk to you during the experience, or everybody's quiet all the time?
Everybody's quiet all the time, except you have check-ins with the teacher every so often. And at first, I thought that I was supposed to maintain the silence no matter what. So she'd ask me a question, and I'd just kind of nod, and she'd be like, no, really, what kinds of, you know, like, and I'd be like, oh, okay, you know, like, I didn't want to do anything. I thought it was like a trick, you know. So I did talk to the teacher a couple of times, but other than that, total silence from my mouth. My brain was like a whole different story because you're meditating 10 to 12 hours every single day, like butt on the cushion meditating. And so most of the time, you know, you're trying to focus on your breath and other stuff, but all kinds of just like random stuff pops into my head. Songs that I don't even know how I know, or just random stuff. Like I had, well, Cosmo's a bitch. She's a big fat bitch. She's the biggest bitch in the whole wide world. She's a stupid bitch. And everyone's, yeah, I had that in my head for like a day and a half, which is great for when you're trying to like be serene.
We saw your boobs.
I didn't have that one. Thank goodness.
Did you have the Sacramento song?
No. Oh. But I had like really random. random songs. Like, do you remember this song? This has never been one of my favorite songs or particularly a meaningful song to me at all. But a song by Eddie Money that was like, take me home tonight. That for like a day and a half. I'm like, where did that come from? Have I even heard that in 15 years? I have no idea. Or sometimes my brain would just say random things like Mecca Lecca Hi, Mecca Hi Ho, you know? Oh, and wow. I was like, oh, hey, Pee Wee's Playhouse in my head. Okay.
That sounds vaguely meditative, like a child. Right?
But it was really cool.
Did you talk to yourself at any point? Would you go to the shower and be like, no, yeah. I'm shampooing my hair. I talked.
Not out loud, but I talked to myself a lot. Like, Becca, you're doing okay. I kind of had to, ooh, there we go. I had to kind of encourage myself because, Christiana, I was thinking of you a little bit because I think this is like the closest thing I've ever done to like running a marathon. Like it was an endurance event, but it was like a marathon of sitting and it hurt. Like it was physically painful. And you had to like, I was telling Ted, I didn't realize this. They don't feed you after 11 o'clock in the morning. And
oh my God, you're a gizmo.
The reason they do that is because your metabolism slows way down. And they don't want you to get all like constipated. Like I had never thought of this until I got there and go to breakfast in the dining hall. And there's a huge thing of stewed prunes and they had like laxative tea if you wanted and all this. I did not partake of those things, but it had never occurred to me how physical this was going to be. And
so you they didn't feed you at all after 11 a.m.?
No, you get a
for
tea
the whole
break.
Day.
You get a tea break at 5. So you have breakfast at 6:30. You get up at 4 in the morning. You have breakfast at 6:30, lunch at 11, and then you get tea at 5.
Is it a snack?
You could have a piece of fruit if you wanted. But I was never hungry because I wasn't moving, you know? But it was, oh yeah, this sounds just like my head on day 3. but so it was kind of really hard. And instead of like a marathon where people are like cheering you on and handing you cups of water and like taking your picture, it was like I was in a place where nobody could look at me or smile at me or hug me or talk to me. And so I had to give myself little high fives sometimes. I'd be like, oh yeah, you just did 2 hours of meditation. Right on, Becca. And like high five myself just to keep it going.
What were the accommodations like? Was it nice?
You get like your own... Well, you have the meditation hall with everybody. Then you have like your own little, like people sleep in like barn-like type buildings, but you have like walls and a curtain door so you can hear everybody, but you can't see everybody. So you have your own little space and communal bathrooms. And then you also get assigned a cell, which is in this building called the Pagoda. That's kind of like this honeycomb and it has all these little walk-in closets with meditation cushions and you can turn off the light and be in the dark in there. Right? It is insane. So I had a cell. I didn't know about the cells until I got there, you guys, but that was part of the whole deal.
So you went to prison is what happened.
I did. Everything was blue in the cell. I went to the shoe. I was thinking that the girls in the shoe,
if they just treat it like meditation, it'd be
right,
fine.
Like Vipassana would really help. I was thinking that if I ever got stuck in solitary confinement or if I ever was on Survivor on one of those challenges where you have to just like hold still, like cling to a pole for like 4 hours or something, I would be much better at it now. But the one thing that happened that was like kind of crazy was that I bruised my butt on day 4, which is really bad when you have to sit like 10 to 12 hours a day. And so my left butt cheek,
because you were just like sitting so hard.
Yeah, because they ask you not to move as much as possible because you're supposed to like be in the moment. So my butt was hurting, but I was like, I'm gonna power through. And then when I got up, it was like bruised sit bone, like my left butt cheek was just like not okay. And so I went to bed that night like praying that it would be good in the morning. And when I woke up, it was still not good. Ugh. And I was like, oh my God, I have like 12 days or 12 hours ahead of me of sitting on that same cushion. And so...
Isn't that bad for like... did you get up and move every hour? Like circulatory wise?
Like every couple hours, yeah, you can get up and walk around. There's like some breaks throughout the day. So I walked around. But after I bruised my butt cheek... In the morning, they have this, like, you can meditate in your room if you want to for the first 2 hours. So I was like, I'm going to do that instead of going to the hall. And I'm going to, like, get all ergonomic with my pillows and try to figure out how to meditate without sitting on my butt, which is hard. It's, like, pitch black, and I'm in my room, and I'm like, I make the pillows into this little pile and sort of sit on them like I'm riding a horse, you know? Because I'm like, there, I'm not on my butt now. I'm, like, on my knees and on these pillows, and that'll be okay, and I'm going to meditate, and I have 2 hours to go. So almost immediately my knees start hurting, but I'm like, I'm going to power through. I can do this. And then maybe 20 minutes in, it's like my knees are like calling 911 and sending up flares. Like, no, but my butt hurts so bad. I'm like, I don't want to get off my knees, but I have to because it hurts too much. So I go to stand up and I can't. Like, stand up at all.
No.
Like, my knees will not unlock, and they super hurt. And so I'm stuck, like, riding this pillow horse in my room in the dark, and I can't figure out how to get out of it. So I just hurl myself forward onto my face.
Oh, God.
And it's, like, super dark, and I'm trying not to disturb anybody else. And so there I am. I'm, like, lying essentially on my face, and my knees still won't unbend. So my feet are, like, sticking up behind me like little chicken wings.
Oh, no.
And so now it's, like, my butt hurts so bad. My knees are locked and won't bend. I have a rug burn on my face, and I'm just laying there, and I'm supposed to be like equanimity, like total calm, and honestly the only thought that was going through my head was like, this shit is retarded. Like, that was literally what was going through my head.
Okay. Whoa. that's what's been going through my head this entire story, because this sounds like a horrible hostage ordeal. As I'm listening to this, I mean, this is like a horrible hostage book. And then I had to sit all day, but I bruised my butt, so I couldn't sit there. So I decided I would do it in the dark of my room. And I get everything all ergonomic, but then my knees immediately started to hurt. And then everything locked up, and I couldn't move. And I was just stuck there like that for days.
With only prunes.
Yeah. I shouldn't have told you. See, I knew when I came here that I was going to tell all the bad stories because those would be funny. And I was like, I should tell about those times that I just wanted to, like, pack up my suitcase and leave in the middle of the night. And that was one of them when I was lying there with my knees locked up. But
did anybody, like, bail?
Yeah.
Like, training where you, like, ring the bell and you have to leave?
Like, five or six people sort of disappeared throughout the course. But
their ransoms
got paid
off.
Do you feel like you knew?
Okay.
I mean, you didn't know anybody. You didn't learn anybody's name because you couldn't talk. Mm-hmm. It's just, you're just there. And what's, like, the demographic? Was it more women than men, old and young?
It was equal. The courses are full up. So they take 100 people and it's like 50-50. And yeah, it was equal women and men, all different ages. Yeah, all different ethnicities. There's a lot of different kinds of people there. But I don't want to give it, like, a bad rap because I'm telling you, like, the bad stories because they were funny. But honestly, it was really, I don't know, it was really powerful, and I learned a lot, and I had some, like, crazy metaphysical experiences. And
well, sure, they were depriving you of food and making you stay in one position for a long time.
Right.
It's called hallucinations.
Exactly, and they were amazing.
Well played.
And legal, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
No drugs were involved.
What was in the prunes?
Exactly. So that's where I've been for the last 12 days, and I'm glad to be back. I'm glad that I did it. It was not what I expected. It was much harder than I expected. The other silent retreats I've been on have been like, oh, let's all just do our best to be quiet, and like, do you need a pillow? Do you want to go for a walk? Like, you can walk in the labyrinth. Oh, do you want to journal or read? You know, they're more like just,
yeah,
like,
you weren't allowed any, no books, no,
oh,
nothing,
no books,
right? No journaling,
no music. Yeah, so that was funny because you get a break and you'd be like, yes, I have a break. I'm so happy to be on a break. And then you're like, and I can lay on my bed or go for a walk. That's it. Like, there's nothing to do really to escape. So the days were really long. Like, time lasts a long time when you have no entertainment.
Wow.
I learned that.
Just,
I always think
just alone with your thoughts.
Oh, right. Mecca, lecca, hi, mecca, honey, ho. Cosmo's a bitch. She's a big fat bitch. She's like, yeah, my brain is awesome.
Oh. So Saturday night, thank you for that, by the way.
Yes.
We may revisit that later. And on future shows, too, as you get a better clarity about it and a little further away from what happened.
Yeah, that's true, because right now I might have some kind of Stockholm syndrome where I'm like, no, but it was awesome, you guys. It was really good. I'm going to do it for my whole life. Like, I really don't know. It was an experience.
Has it changed your mind? Because we had one of those, like, would you rather things where, wasn't it like, would you rather be in a house with the same 11 people for a year or not interact with anybody for a year?
Yeah, it was, would you rather be in a one-bedroom apartment with
right.
five roommates or live alone and not be able to talk to anybody for a year?
And I think I picked live alone, and I think I would still pick live alone.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So Saturday night, right after my phone sprang legs and walked away, we had a little improv show.
Improv.
That happened improv, featuring Christiana and several other people, hosted by me. I thought it went pretty well.
It was good.
It was our second show.
It was good. We're getting there.
It looks like our third show will be the last Saturday in September.
Okay.
If we can get everybody together for it. Because the spot is open for us. We got bumped out of the comedy festival. because they bumped all the test kitchen shows out of the comedy festival. So our options were Labor Day weekend, which was a no-go, or the, I believe it's the 28th of September. It's like the last Saturday.
Yeah, that's the 28th.
So it looks like we're going to be on again. If you can come out then, make your plans now. It's a free show, free to get in. Keep your cell phone in your pocket. it's free to get in, pay what you like to get out. So if you come and you really like the show, you know, drop $5, $6 or whatever you like in the hat. If you thought the show was kind of meh, maybe drop a dollar in there just to say, hey,
like
thanks.
A penny, like
yeah, thanks for trying. And we appreciate the effort. Thanks for trying. So yeah, it's free. It's pay what you want and you can give feedback. So if you really love the show, there's comment cards you can talk about. Hey, I really like this. I really like this, or I didn't really care for this. So yeah, that, and we'll of course update that as we move forward. So very happy with that, and thanks to the That Happened cast for going ahead and doing that.
It just occurred to me that you need the sound drop of Louis C.K. saying, "Dude, that happened," like for your show.
That happened.
Do you know?
We have no tech for the show either. We're pretty much just. You know, it's just us and our little newsy shenanigans.
Well, just
our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
See?
Ooh. Hey!
Say shenanigans. Next guy who says shenanigans.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll have to find that sample for you. Okay. Just in case you need it. Because you could advertise your show with it.
That happened.
And people might think Louis C.K. is going
to
be in it.
Well, yeah, I don't want anybody to think that.
I'm just kidding.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably going to be Christiana.
It always will be me. All right, I'll say like three things about Lady Business because we also had a show.
Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock show.
We had an 8 o'clock show on Saturday. And sometimes you get on stage and you just know it's not going to be your night.
Sure. Yeah, we've all been there.
So, unfortunately, Lady Business had one of those. And I think I jinxed it because a friend of mine from who just moved to Berkeley from Washington, D.C., came out because her husband was out of town. She's like, yeah, I'll come up and see the show. I'm all, oh, great, exciting. We've been selling out the shows lately, and they've been really fun. It'll be awesome. Great show to come watch.
Oh, whenever I have like really special out-of-town guests coming, the show is terrible. Always.
I felt bad because we had like a new... guest player with us named Julie Kerber, I think is her last name. I'm going to mess it up. Julie, she's a very funny girl, has performed in Chicago and the places that are the fancy places.
Sure. And she didn't help.
And she didn't. Well, I felt bad for her because she was, she was stressed. And then it certainly wasn't like it was because she was there that we didn't have a good night. She just had the misfortune of being on stage when we didn't have a good night. And so she was like, oh, God.
And the hard thing is when you're a guest performer, because in improv groups, you rehearse together. You spend time together. You're on stage together. You get used to how everybody plays, and it's a little bit different. So a guest performer is coming in kind of cold. It's like having an opening conversation with people.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's a little rocky. So,
I mean, it wasn't like it was terrible, want to run off the stage and cry or anything.
No.
It just wasn't super strong. We didn't have the house was not super full. We did our monologues at the beginning, and usually there's some chuckling to that. Wasn't any, and I'm not sure if they were just not that funny. So, and then you get trapped into long scenes because you're not, you're not hitting your games or whatever. No one's laughing. You're waiting for some kind of laugh moment, and then you cut it, and like that doesn't happen. So, I still love being on stage with those gals, and so I'd rather rather have a bad show or maybe not the best show than no show. But
part of the thing with Lady Business is the bar is set pretty high because normally it's a really good show.
Yeah.
So when you're having a show that isn't what is expected, it may still be a good show. It just, you're not living
everybody
up to what
panic.
You expect. Yeah. And everybody sort of panics. Hey, just want to remind everybody that coming up on August 23rd from 6 to 9 p.m., it's the Pause to Party at the California Auto Museum. It benefits the Front Street Animal Shelter.
Yay, animals.
Tickets are $30 in advance, $40 at the door.
Animal.
There's going to be live music, food, wine and beer, and a silent auction. It all helps save lives over at the Front Street Shelter. So if you're going to be in Sacramento, and I will not be in town for that, I just want to mention that. So,
yay, good job.
Yeah, go ahead and check that out. So, Apparently, Canadian border security agents have to do more than ask you if you have anything to declare. They also have to screen different sorts of entertainment before they're allowed in Canada. And recently they had to screen a DVD copy of the porn film starring MTV teen mom Farrah Abraham to determine whether the X-rated production was suitable for importation into the country.
Oy.
According to a report released by the Canada Border Services Agency, representatives with the group's Prohibited Importations Unit had to review Farrah Superstar Backdoor Teen Mom at some point during the second quarter of the year. The video features the 21-year-old Abraham and porn star James Dean. It was deemed admissible by border agents who are charged with checking the material that is considered to be obscene, treason, sedition, or hate propaganda. They also had to view Hustler videos Keeping Up for the Kardashians.
Clever.
Which is a parody, of course, of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Very clever.
That was first released in 2008. That was also allowed into Canada. The production is Larry Flint and company's takeoff on the e-reality programming. So only 8 of 62 porn DVDs reviewed by Canadian officials between April and June were prohibited.
Which were those?
Well, some of the banned titles, since you asked, included Unnatural Family, Triple Feature, and Living Sex Toy Delivery Volume 3, The Captured Women.
That sounds horrible. It's like Mannequin, but much worse.
Canadian officials also seized a copy of Brazilian Amateur Caviar, which is the fourth in a fetish series, whose title certainly does not refer to the luxury delicacy. Instead, it reflects the aesthetic of the notorious Two Girls, One Cup.
Gross.
Also from Brazil. So, hey, thanks, Brazil. Enjoy the World Cup in the Olympics.
Two girls, one cup, one country. I don't know what I'm saying.
Two girls, one cup. Two international exhibitions of sport. The Olympics and the World Cup.
Yay.
It's a diverse country.
Yeah, Russia would not approve of that.
They would not.
Because they hate gay people.
Speaking of gay people,
hey, there's a segue.
The day after we went to see the WWE, Darren Young, who is one half of the primetime players, disclosed that he is gay. It was an interview with TMZ at the baggage carousel at LAX.
It's the weirdest thing.
As one does.
That's
pretty much their studio, I think, is the baggage claim at LAX.
That's where they get a lot of this stuff.
Just why come out at the airport of all
places? Well, here's what happened. When asked whether a gay wrestler could survive in the WWE, he sort of laughed and replied, "Absolutely. Look at me. I'm a WWE superstar.
Sucker.
And to be honest with you, I'll tell you right now, I'm gay and I'm happy. Very happy.
Gay awesome. And gay. Gay, gay.
Exactly. Oh. So, and
but
it was
bad gay.
It was all very, there's no bad gay, Ted.
Well, you know, if you use it, and never mind, I'm not going to get into it.
No, gay.
Like, that's
gay,
so gay.
Like, gay 90s, like the gay, like happiness
oh,
gay.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, but not the bad gay, like
not bad.
The Louis C.K. gay. Can we just move on to the story? I'm
yeah.
sorry. I just, stop interrupting with gay shit, Ted.
So, anyway, what I really liked about his revelation was the matter-of-fact manner in which he did it. It's like, yeah, I'm gay. I'm happy. Everything's going great. And he's gotten a ton of positive feedback. John Cena, who is the biggest name in WWE, had praise for the decision. He said, and I quote, "Oh, wonderful. Good for him. That's fantastic. I know Darren personally. Darren's a great guy. That's a very bold move for him, and congratulations for him for actually finally doing it." So obviously he already knew he was gay. John Cena's oldest brother is gay, and he added that he doesn't expect this is going to have any effect on his work. He says it's all about being professional, and Darren Young is a consummate professional. Also responding was Bret Hart, legendary wrestler. He took to Facebook to say, quote, "I am more than proud of Darren Young for having the courage to come out. The truth is that WWE and pro wrestling in general have long been ahead of the curve when it comes to accepting sexual orientations." And another legend, Shawn Michaels, came out and said, "There have been gay wrestlers for years that everybody in the locker room knew were gay. They just weren't open to the public, and it's no big deal." So I think it's fantastic that this happens and everybody's like, yeah, it's not a big deal. He's an entertaining superstar, and that's all that matters.
Hear, hear.
I'm glad that he can be out, though, and I hope that more wrestlers would come out, because, I don't know, I just think it's important for athletes across the board to step up for that.
And he was on the Today Show the following day, so he admitted this. The next morning, he's in New York. Because they were down
they
for SummerSlam. Oh, yeah, the Today Show flew him in.
That's
one of
it's the Today Show and not 3 weeks ago show.
That's
exactly.
True.
And one of the things that Matt Lauer asked him was, were you afraid that you would be outed? And he goes, yeah, I lived in fear all the time.
Aww.
So when he actually said that, because he had taken control of, it's not a big deal. It wasn't a big deal. It's like when you hold a lot of times, like when you're a kid, especially, and you hold a secret in because you think, oh, my God, if anybody finds out this, it's going to be the end of everything. And then it comes out and it's not really that big a deal.
You know what makes me happy about the story right now? It has nothing to do with the story, but playing on the computer screen is an ad or something with a bunch of like frolicking alpacas. And I'm just like, yeah, happiness.
Hey, alpacas. Happy.
You guys alpacas make me happy.
I'm kind of having remorse about everything I just said about my 12 days. I feel like I just like word vomited all over the place because haven't talked in so long. And I'm like, what did I say? I just said a bunch of like really embarrassing and sad stuff. And it was probably a really profound experience. And I just talked about laxatives and knee pain. I want to start over.
And rug burn on your face, honey.
Well,
don't forget the rug burn on your face.
I'm not ready to come back into the world, you guys.
Do you want to see that? Turn the thing around so she can see the alpacas.
Well, I can't turn it. I can't. It's kind of hooked up. It's kind of hooked up.
I'll call
if you
one
were
up.
Seeing what I was seeing, they were super cute.
Oh.
Yeah.
Come over and then.
It's just alpacas.
So cute. It's okay.
So moving on. Out of Detroit, it's a dangerous and illegal form of hitchhiking that became popular during the Great Depression. But the practice of hopping a freight train for a free ride is not history.
With a bindle?
Oh, it's got to be with a bindle.
Sorry, Ted loves bindles. They're have to get them in whenever possible.
Oh, bindle. I made you out of a stick.
Well, when he jumps on board, Sterling Heights native and 29-year-old Cosmo said he can see up to 5 groups of people of all types and ages doing the same. He said, I've hopped alone, I've hopped with friends, I've hopped with way too many people in boxcars. And that's fun, he told WWJ News Radio's 950's Sandra McNeil. He said, the only time I ever see anyone who's hopping a train is when I'm hopping a train. Well, no shit, Sherlock.
You're like, you need to hang out by the train tracks and watch people.
He also added, the whole point is to be discreet. The whole point is to be a ninja.
Ooh, a hobo ninja. I love it.
You know what I like
ninja.
About this
okay,
story? Is it's actually about hobos.
It is.
Not all the times you try to use the word hobo to apply inaccurately to another subculture people who are not in fact hobos.
You mean the urban raccoons that infest Midtown
That's
Sacramento?
Even more offensive.
Well, yeah. then let's just stick with hobos.
Why don't you just go with homeless person?
It's like
even though it's the hobos, they don't want you to call the other people hobos.
It's like using geek and nerd and dork interchangeably.
Well,
I think we can all agree on
that.
I don't use them interchangeably. I use them when they apply.
Listen, guys.
I feel like hobo. I went there. Hobo ninja is going to be like. It's going to show up on Netflix right next to like Machete and Hobo with a Shotgun. You know, yeah. That's going to be like the next exploitation,
awesome.
Hobo exploitation. Thing.
Like his
movie.
Bindle.
Like bum fights.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Oh, no.
No,
that's a different kind of exploitation.
Yes,
I meant it more like 70s, like blaxploitation or something, but like hobo exploitation. But
it's like Kung Fu, but for the hobo generation.
Yeah.
Remember Kung Fu? He wanders the world trying to make
Oh, he kind of was a hobo.
Sure. And then,
in
you know, until he was found hanging and masturbating in a Far East hotel room.
That was
not the fictional character. That was the actor.
No, the actor who played him, David Carradine.
Right.
They're different. People.
No, they're not. They're the same.
It's not a documentary.
Oh, it isn't?
I want Hobo Ninja. Like his bindle stick opens up into nunchucks. That would be fantastic.
Why can't it be a kendo stick?
That's a good point. I don't know why I want it to be nunchucks.
Yeah.
You
went a little too far on the ninja. You went stereotypical ninja.
Well, maybe it can be a pack of hobo ninjas. This is a concept we have to revisit, I think.
Maybe. Let's move on, though.
Okay.
How many people in the room watch Duck Dynasty? Just me?
Duck Dynasty. I have no idea what that is.
Well, Duck Dynasty is the biggest show on cable TV right now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Like during the summer?
I only know it has something to do with, it's like a family of dudes that run a shop. Something about hunting or duck calls or something.
Yeah, they made their fortune of the
Are they family or
yes.
they just work together?
They're family.
Hence the dynasty.
The patriarch of the family started the duck call business in the early 70s, and one of the sons, who's now the CEO, went to college and got a master's degree in business, and now they're a multi-million-dollar business. And the reality show it's scripted reality and it's based around their lives. It's actually pretty funny. And you kind of root for them to succeed because they're good dudes. And if you're like me, I'm from Vermont. I know people like this. So they were in. Do you have a question, or are you?
I do
it?
Have a question.
Yes.
I don't understand, and this is probably because I haven't had TV for a number of years. I don't understand the term scripted reality.
Scripted reality is something that when you're watching it, it's supposed to seem like it's, oh, you're just following everyday lives. But if you just follow anybody in their everyday life, it's going to be really boring. So scripted reality is like you plan events, you plan stunts, and you plan things to do. Like on their season premiere, they're like, well, it's Phil and Kay's anniversary. What should we do? Oh, well, they never had a real wedding.
It's all reality.
Let's plan.
It's all of the reality television.
Let's plan X, okay. Y, and Z. Yeah.
So it's like what makes it reality as opposed to, say, a script. Or,
they're
like,
playing themselves.
Is that they're playing themselves.
Yes.
And they're saying, this is our real lives.
Yeah. And kind of. And for this show in particular, it's probably a little bit closer to their real lives than a lot of reality shows in terms of how they react to things. And because they were talking about this because they were also on the Today Show, but they were doing a bunch of shows in New York because of the premiere. And they were talking about, well, we sort of do our own thing when we're talking about that. Because nobody from Hollywood is going to really be able to write so it sounds right. Because these guys are in East Monroe, Louisiana. Mm. So if you're somebody who's lived in Hollywood, you're not going to be authentic with it. So they're sort of, you know, they're doing their own thing. But anyway, it's the biggest show on cable TV. And they just started season 3, I believe. And like I said, they were in New York. And one of the brothers, Jace Robertson, fell victim to what they're calling facial profiling, because they all have big, thick beards. They stopped by live with Kelly and Michael, no Regis, Wednesday morning to dish the details on the series and the time they spent in New York City. And it's the fourth season, by the way. Robertson told the audience that he had just been kicked out of the hotel he was staying at in the Big Apple because an employee mistook him for a homeless man.
Whoops.
The first thing that happened to me at the hotel is I got escorted out, Robertson said of what he called facial profiling deal. He continued to explain the employees simply had no idea who he was. I asked where the bathroom was, and he said, right this way, sir. He was very nice, and he walked me outside and pointed down the road and said, good luck.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's it. That's him, Christiana. So he's got long hair. He's got a beard. He could be in any Southern rock band ever.
Right. The most I know about this show was I read an oral history of Intervention,
mm-hmm.
and they made a couple of comments where they were just like bitterly sad. Their show got canceled, and they're like, but Doug Dynasty is still going.
You know why?
That's awesome.
Because it's not a fucking bummer. Intervention is a bummer. You know, people don't want to watch bummer all the time. If your life is a bummer, the last thing you want to do is sit down. You know what? My life's kind of depressing. I'd like something worse.
I know. That's why we're not talking about Egypt.
That's right. That's
a
right.
Bummer too.
And besides, that could change between the time we record this and the time, you know, it actually goes on the website. You're a lawyer, Christiana.
That's true.
I have other friends who are lawyers.
Don't rub it in.
This lovely lady, Victoria Zidrock, has found a way to finance her legal education, which can be expensive. Because law school tuition has skyrocketed in recent years, and most people wind up financing their legal education by taking out up to six figures in loans to cover the cost. But because of cuddling up right next to mountains of debt isn't a pleasant way to live, some others, like Victoria, have found more creative ways to pay their way. Whether it's by having very rich and generous parents, keeping a day job and going to law school at night, becoming a sugar baby, or working a part-time job between classes, there are many ways to survive without having to fully rely on student loans. But Victoria, she qualifies as having beauty and brains. She's an intellectual phenom, according to this article. Graduated from college at the age of 18, enrolled in law school the following year. She graduated from Villanova Law in 97, later earned a PhD in criminal psychology from Drexel, member of both the New York and New Jersey bars, although she's been administratively suspended in New York since 2009. For failure to comply with attorney registration and the associated fees. She's also a best-selling author who speaks five languages. This is a great bio piece, isn't it? But she paid for her law school education by posing in Playboy.
So?
Dang. I was listening to this story, like, excitedly because I still have to come up You know, I still have several thousand dollars worth of tuition to come up with for school over the next 2 years. And I was like, what did she do? She's an intellectual phenomenon. She's going to have a really awesome idea. But I don't think posing for Playboy is the way I'm going to fund seminary, you guys.
That would be ironic. She posed for a spread in Playboy magazine that went national in October of 94. Her courthouse colleagues were certainly excited. Just for the articles, of course. After graduating from law school, she was still hurting for cash to finish up her doctoral degree, so she posed for Penthouse in 2002, becoming the magazine's Pet of the Month, and later reigning as the 2004 Penthouse Pet of the Year. Now, around the same time, she began her movie career, starring in films like Lesbians in Lust, Three's Company, spelled with a U, and the famous Asturbators 2.
Three's Company, was that with Mr. Groper?
I believe it was.
Because it should have been.
Okay, wait. Does she really practice law? This all sounds like a bunch of
shenanigans.
She speaks five languages. She wrote a bunch of books. She is a porn star. She's in these magazines. And she has all these degrees. And I don't know. Something sounds fake.
Yeah, now she's living life as a sexpert, dating coach, and relationship advisor, charging $4.19 per minute for her tips and tricks. That's far more than any phone sex line would charge for other conversations. There you go.
And there you go.
I'm gonna shenanigans this whole story.
Oh, well.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
She's not a guy.
Was this just essentially an ad for her number?
Yeah, here's what she says. You would have to pay me $500 an hour because the thought of dressing up in a suit and going to court to me is very unpleasant. Although I like the theory of law and its principles, I have grown to dislike the practice of law. So I figured I would bring that around to where she and Christiana had common ground.
So there's life after law school is the moral of the story.
Yeah, law school. I mean, you could be on practice. Fox. You could be on Fox News. You could be on any of the cable news outlets. You could have a porn thing. I mean, there's any number of things you could do with a law degree that don't involve the law.
Or maybe you don't need a law degree.
Have you considered those, Christiana?
No, there's nothing you can do. You can do anything with or without a law degree, because just because you have a degree doesn't, I mean, so what?
You still have to pay for it.
It doesn't necessarily make you qualified just to do anything specifically other than to practice law or to feed into the morons who want someone with a law degree or a law license because attorneys are magical, mythical beasts that know how to do something, but they don't. Law school doesn't
like unicorns.
Law school doesn't teach you shit. Being in practice teaches you how to be a lawyer. Just having passed the barrier to entry, which exists solely to keep the numbers lower, to keep our costs more.
Oh.
That doesn't get you anywhere. They don't teach
that
you anything.
Escalated quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa.
Yeah, we got to get that stuff in. Yes. Up first in cooler tool, ninjas, Ted.
Ninjas are cool. Hobo ninjas are cooler. I'm going to put it out there.
Becca, what say you?
I'm in a nonviolent mood right now, so I'm going to say tool. Ninjas are tool.
Okay, Christiana.
You know what? I don't know. I'm going to say tool because I'm over the ninja thing. Just like I'm over the zombie thing and I'm over the pirate thing.
I'm with you 1,000%.
See, we can't come
all
together.
All of you people are wrong about everything. Especially ninjas.
Fair point,
ninjas,
Ted.
Ninjas don't have to be violent. They're trained to be violent, but they can just be passive and do what they got to do.
Ooh, maybe the SAC PD is just a bunch of ninjas. That's why you never see them.
Bare Naked Ladies has a great ninja song on its Snack Time album for children.
How
just
are
it out there.
So much hatred for the ninjas. I'm really disappointed in everyone here.
Up next in Cooler Tool, Snooty Hotels. Christiana, Snooty Hotels, Cooler Tool.
Duck Dynasty. It's the tool? I don't know.
Becca, what say you?
Snooty, everything is tool.
Ted?
I think a hotel that doesn't know that they have celebrity guests in their hotel and kicks one out is pretty bad and still their tool.
Yeah, absolutely tool on that.
That was lame.
If you could stop drumming your thumbs, I can hear that on the microphone. Just saying.
Sorry.
It's okay.
She's really happy to be around people.
I know.
Jeez.
Yeah, she can move freely with no restrictions. Can't keep it down. And finally, using your girl power. Becca, what say you? Cooler tool.
I don't know what that means.
Showing your boobs to pass law school, I think.
Tool.
Not pass.
Becca's against girl power. Ted, what do you think?
Well, in the context of this, that's a tough one. I guess do what you want to do. If that's how you want to do it, yeah, cool. Good for you.
Christiana.
I'm going to go cool because no one should take out loans for law school.
Yeah, that's perfectly cool. Whatever you can get away with, I think that's perfectly fine. You you do what you got to do to make ends meet and deal with your stuff.
If people are so silly to pay you $4.19 a minute for your sexpert advice, then you deserve it.
I'm going to do that. That's fine.
It's not the advice they're paying for. They're paying to talk on the phone with a playmate.
You did that as a volunteer position, so I think now if you could merge into doing that for business.
That's true. Really, should I go into phone sex to pay for seminary? There's some.
If neither one of those things work out, you've got great material for your pilot.
Yeah,
that is true.
Her pilot,
and everyone. We're in California. We may not be in LA, but like everyone should have a pilot.
Sure, if you had a plane, you need a pilot. Right. So yeah, cool. So that's cooler tool.
Yay!
It is. Let's move on. This is something I like to call. Is this a thing? We do every now and then.
The answer is always never a thing.
This from the Huffington Post, which is the arbiter of things.
All things.
Sure. Period. Various things. A British dating website is attempting a new way of connecting singles that even they admit is crappy. Toilet dating. The London-based site dosomething.co.uk is pairing up with a company called London Loo Tours to offer monthly toilet nights.
What the fuck's a loo tour?
Not a thing.
Okay.
Toilet dating combines singles nights with a pub crawl and a sightseeing tour of the city's most interesting bathrooms. There you go.
Great.
According to a press release, folks who sign up for the excrement-oriented event will endure tons of toilet puns, just like this article, and learning the ins and outs of toilet history from Roman times. They will also learn tricks for finding free public restrooms in London, which I guess is probably useful if you're on a pub crawl.
Or a hobo.
Mm-hmm. Doing Something's founder Matt Janes is flush with excitement about the possibilities. I'm just skipping through the puns, by the way. I'm not giving him any credence. He said nothing would be more awkward than having a first date in a toilet until now. That's what he told your English Cosmopolitan. He said, we've given London Loo scene the ultimate Doing Something makeover and are encouraging Londoners to not be down in the dumps and try this new dating experience.
Okay, that's ridiculous. They're making it out like they solved a problem. Like there was such a problem. Like we all want a date in a bathroom, but we can't. Wait a minute. Now we have the answer. Like nobody wants to date in a bathroom. I don't understand.
Hear, hear.
So the question is this a thing?
No,
not a thing. Not a thing.
It should not be. I'm calling on Prince William to do something about this and put an end to it.
God.
I know you're just merely a figurehead, sir, but and you've got a new family to deal with and all that, but please, for the love of God, do something about this.
I just learned driving up here, I was on NPR, they were doing Liberace trivia, that Liberace didn't really want the toilets to be visible in his house, and he tried to hire people to have toilets that would sort of like back into walls or disappear or something, you know, when you weren't using them, but that wasn't really possible because of plumbing, so instead he had the toilet in his master bedroom built into a big gold throne.
Oh, nice.
He should have gone with like the Turkish style toilet, which is really just a hole in the ground that you squat over, and then you could have slid something over it.
Ooh. I was thinking the same thing. Nate, you and I, one mind on this toilet issue. Like,
sure.
Toilets don't have to be a big fixture. They can just be a hole in the ground.
If only Liberace would have come to us when he was alive.
Isn't it better for you to kind of squat when you use the bathroom instead of sitting?
Less danger of hemorrhoids.
See, this is the problem they could have been solving instead of the problem of people not being able to go on dates in toilets like they've been longing to all these years.
Yeah, it would still be too late for Liberace.
That's true.
Up next is a story that we featured in the That Happened show last night. And this is from Florida, but it's not part of Florida Corner. A woman arrested after apparently refusing to put her shirt on while on the dance floor did not go to jail quietly. She's quoted as saying, "It's titty time. I'll take everything off. I'm getting arrested for indecent exposure. I'll give you something to look at, baby." She's also quoted as hollering, "I'll take everything off. Oh, yes, baby, I'll take it all off, okay?" The reported bare breast brouhaha that got Rhonda Beckman busted played out on August 2nd at Captain Jack's Sandbar and Grill in Fort Pierce. The manager told the Fort Pierce police that Beckman, who's 46, was removing her shirt while intoxicated on the dance floor. The manager said she rejected a request to put her shirt on and left. Two officers found Beckman, and a third officer noticed her breasts were exposed. Really? See, this is some,
three?
This is some good police work when the first two didn't notice a titty hanging out. Nice job. One officer said Beckman called him a piece of shit and an asshole. while breast exposing women exclaiming, "It's titty time," might be frowned upon in mainstream restaurants. Other venues would certainly celebrate the statement. Yeah.
I'm wondering, were there any other people who were kind of like, yeah, we want to see him? Or was it just like her by herself, like, hey, everybody, you know, because I'm imagining men on the other side of that being like, you know, show us your tits, take it off. But if that wasn't happening, it's so sad.
The problem with this story to me is there's a TV show for kids that's like from the Wallace and Gromit guy. It's called Timmy Time.
So
it's got
close.
A song. And so now in my head, I'm going, titty. It's titty. He's a little boob with a lot to learn.
Aw, that's adorable.
Titty.
That's a good cartoon you came up
it's
with.
It's titty time.
It's Christiana's pilot, everyone.
Yeah, there we go. It's just what we want it to be.
I'm sure that's what you
after did. Hobo Ninja.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's my pilot.
That's right after Hobo Ninja on True TV.
Oh, I can't wait.
Hobo Ninja will be your pilot. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah. I call it.
That's fine.
Hobo Ninja.
I'm sorry.
Well, I just have this to say, Ted. Oh, damn it. I need to have it turned on.
Well, I'm opposed to the whole thing.
Okay. That's fine.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Turning now to Illinois, two Chicago men were trying to rob a restaurant. They got fooled by the owner, who told them to rob his establishment in a few hours, and then he called police on them.
What?
When they returned. The would-be thieves, Mario Garcia and Domingo Garcia Hernandez, first showed up at the West Rogers Park restaurant on Sunday night at the peak of the restaurant's business. The restaurant owner told the men to return later when less customers were around and less people would be put in danger. That's according to the Chicago Tribune. One of the men threatened the owner with what was later discovered to be a squirt gun, but looked like a real firearm when he told them to leave. But they eventually left. As the owner suggested, the men came back later on. By that time, the owner had called the police to the scene, and the men were arrested when they got there.
That's amazing.
One of the would-be robbers, though, did show up with a metal baseball bat on his return. They live a block away from the restaurant, so it wasn't very far for them to turn around and come back. So
now part of me thinks, wow, that's amazing. They were stupid, blah, blah, blah. And part of me is like, wow, the police came out just in case these guys might have come and robbed something. You know what I mean? Like you
that's
were just saying
true.
Like you were having trouble having... You couldn't even talk to somebody unless a crime was in progress.
Right. So. Well, in this case, a crime was in progress. I mean, they had come in and were going to hold him up, an armed robbery. So that's the type of thing that SAC PD will roll out for that. Mm. If you have an emergency and you call 911 and you are in danger, in imminent danger, they will roll out.
Wait, it sounds like they came. He said, come back. They left. He called the police and then they came back and arrested the guys, assuming they would come back.
Yeah.
That's pretty ambitious. I don't know.
It's Chicago. They don't mess around in Chicago.
Apparently not.
They do not.
They must have money for their police force.
Well, either that or they've got a management in their police force that focuses them where they should be focused.
Oh.
Mm. Or they just ignore, you know, the parts of the city where crime runs rampant and people are killed at an alarming rate.
That's dangerous.
And no one ever talks about. But that's depressing, so let's move on to something else.
Yay. Oh, yeah, Florida Corner's never depressing.
Nope, it's not.
It's always uplifting.
This one is called Weird Crime Wednesday.
Huh.
On Sunday, August 11th.
Or really in Florida, that's kind of redundant, just Wednesday.
It's true. 29-year-old William Bradford was asked by his friend, 36-year-old Christine Stevenson, to come over to her house. The reason for her invitation was that she felt the protection was needed against her roommate, Kenneth Thompson. It seemed that in addition to having the habit of returning to their house drunk and breaking things, Kenneth also believed with all his heart that Christine was the love of his life. The fact that Christine did not return his affection had become a bit of a sore spot during their time cohabitating. Yeah, move out, Christine.
Yeah.
To emphasize her stance on their relationship to one another and for her own protection, Christine decided to take out a restraining order the next day. But in the meantime, she still had one evening left living in the same quarters and didn't want any trouble. If you're taking out a restraining order, go stay at a friend's house.
Agreed. Right. Agreed.
Yeah, that's like your friend William Bradford's house, maybe.
Yeah, and the person who wrote the article asked a lot of the same questions.
Okay.
But things did get out of hand after Kenneth walked into the door. Living up to his alleged control freak persona, he grabbed Christine's phone and began examining the contents when he came across information, either text or emails, that revealed her plans. He reacted to hearing the undesirable news by first becoming self-destructive, claiming he was going to shoot himself in the face, and then lashing out at someone else, who ended up being William, in the form of repeated punches to his face.
Oh, God.
At this point, Christine and William decided to leave the premises, and here's where we get to the Florida part. As they were headed out to their car, Kenneth attacked William and wrestled him to the ground. After the two men had tussled for a while, Kenneth decided it was time to show the fleeing pair just what a desperate, crazy person they were dealing with by biting down on William's ear, twisting it in his teeth, and pulling off a chunk of flesh.
This is all terrible.
It is terrible.
What a bummer.
But
welcome back to society.
He had a little bit of, I guess, remorse. Because he then went inside, got a cup of coffee filled with creamer, and spit the piece of William's ear inside of it. He later claimed to police that he took this course of action because he heard, if you lose a tooth, you should keep it in creamer.
Oh, he's a genius.
So there you go.
God. I think he has issues.
And now you know why. Now you know why that's in Florida Corner. Now for the ladies, this one a little lighter story. Although parts of it not so much. A sheriff's bomb tech specialist determined a suspicious package received by a Jensen Beach woman was not an explosive device. Instead, it was an erotic device. More specifically, a battery-operated sex toy. Ooh. The woman got the package on July 31st. It arrived in the mail the day before, and she called the police. The unknown item was housed in a manila envelope inside a USPS priority mail envelope. The woman's name and address were listed as sender and recipient. Which is odd. A bomb tech specialist determined the suspicious package contained a sex toy. It was a pink plastic adult novelty item with some type of plastic rabbit attached to it. That's according to a sheriff's spokesman in an email.
Good choice, rabbit. That's good.
Some type of rabbit.
The recipient says she did not order it.
Sure.
She named a person she thought sent the item, but there was no proof. The recipient and her husband have injunctions against that person.
That's
so
awkward.
That's not a bomb. It's a rabbit.
Is that a rabbit in your envelope?
There's
or
a
you
lot
just
of
happy to I don't know.
Injunctions.
There are.
What's your function, injunction?
Injunction.
To prevent you from biting off my ear or sending me an unwanted adult novelty toy with some kind of rabbit attached.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good song.
Yeah, you should
catchy.
Write that up.
Right, it's catchy.
It does.
Part of your pilot.
It's not as catchy as Bindle Bindle Binyal I made you with a steak. Which, by the way, Christiana, I have to give you kudos because that is like the best Ted joke ever. Like that, knowing Ted as I do and his sense of humor, like it has like a Jewish theme, you know, and it's catchy, it's in a song, and there's a bindle. Yeah, no,
that'll be the theme song
for
my TV
show. That's your
show.
Holiday card this year is, yeah, needs to be with
a Tobo Ninja theme song. Maybe that's what
those were very bad times.
True. They were.
Now here's the question.
Oh,
ladies.
Oh,
should women be marrying men who make less money to better retain their own incomes? According to one study, high-earning women, of which there are more and more these days, might do better in their careers when they marry men who are not so high-earning. Economists Marianne Bertland, Claudia Golden, and Lawrence Katz, tracked the earnings of male and female University of Chicago MBAs for a 10-year period from 1990 to 2000. They found that women who married lower-earning men experienced less of an income drop after having children than those married to men who earn the same as them or more. According to The Atlantic, a large and sustained drop in income is highly correlated with having children and a high-earning husband. They suggest that high-achieving women specifically chose lower-earning husbands with the expectation that they'll be more available to provide childcare. Another option, female breadwinners don't experience an income drop after having children because the family cannot afford for them to do so. In households where a woman is earning less than a spouse, she may have the luxury of workplace flexibility after having kids, balancing any pay drop she accepts against her spouse's higher earnings. But if a woman is earning more than her partner, it seems logical that her family would depend on her income. So accepting a pay cut to put her family's financial would put her family's financial well-being at risk. So, good news, guys who don't make much money.
Yay!
It's time to get some high-earning ladies.
All right.
It's good for the ladies, which is the important thing. Isn't it?
I guess so. I've been unemployed for a year. Nothing in that article seemed to relate to me at all. I also don't have a husband, high-earning or not, so I don't know.
Not affected.
Completely
well,
out of my...
You shouldn't look for one, and I think that's the point. You should always look for someone making less than you.
Oh.
Make about woman. The same now, I guess.
I guess we do make about the same. Unemployed couple! Woo.
Oh, Ted, do you have an announcement?
Okay, that was it. Thanks, everyone. I booked about it. Do you want me to talk about it now?
If you want to mention it briefly,
oh, sure,
there's
yeah.
no need to go into great detail.
Oh, no. So I've been working at the same company for the past 14 years as a business technology writer. And my last day at that job was last Friday, and I'm moving on to bigger and better things, and whatever those things are have not yet become entirely clear, but they're going to be awesome, and I'll let people know as plans develop.
And the question I first asked you was it something that was your decision?
Oh, yes. Thank you. It was absolutely my decision. As some of you may have heard, last week I received a typewriter from Gordy Little, and that changed my life profoundly.
Yeah.
I saw that typewriter. I thought, my novel is going through that typewriter. That is not true. I've actually been wanting to leave. Christiana's looking at me like, is that really what happened?
No, I mean, I'd be like, carpe diem, homeboy.
No.
You do
it's,
that. You
it's
do you.
Really, I mean, it's been a long time coming. I really appreciate everything that my company did for me, but it's just when you don't have the passion to do what you're doing and you're just looking at your job as though, okay, this is a very stable way to live out the next 30 years of my life. I have the luxury of making the decision that I had to move on, and that's the decision I finally made. So 40's coming around the corner too. Maybe there's a little bit of midlife crisis in there, but I don't think it is. No, I'm very left on good terms.
No, let's okay. We let you work this out. Keep going.
Oh no. That's good. Here's really what's happening. No, I left on good terms, and I'm excited about the future, and I feel good about it. I feel good. So
Look for Ted in a coffee house near you.
Exactly.
Well, I feel like you both should check out Scripted, which is a company that my friend owns.
Ooh.
Not to give him
plug.
Free press or anything. Plug, yeah. I don't think it's really plugged. But they do. It's like a it's like a freelancer clearinghouse kind of thing.
Oh,
so companies or whoever that's looking for content, you know, it's like Babysitter's Club. They match them up with writers,
yeah.
And then you can
that's
do
cool.
You can do or not do.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
They put the prompts up there and what you need, and you can be like, I'll do it.
Cool.
So
I'm actually going to freelance a bit for my company. I still have that option. So
nice.
Something. But yeah, it'll be fun.
That's cool. I will look into that.
Oh, yeah.
And in the meantime, I don't know, like I came home from being gone for 12 days and it was like the house was all clean and there were all these little odd jobs that had been done and everything. And I was like, ooh, Ted's been unemployed for like a day and a half and like the house is like sparkling. So this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what people need in their lives? They need guidelines. No matter what it is, you kind of need a sort of a roadmap to deal with stuff. Well, Christy Teigen, who is a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, she has a policy, has guidelines for her no underwear policy. So let's take a listen to that.
Never wear on. Are you wearing it now?
No.
And you know, I didn't realize. I should have tested this. I didn't know sitting would be quite this bad, but yeah. Here you go, everybody.
I've got a nice view.
I know you. Spot on. You never wear underwear. What do you do?
I just don't. I don't like it.
Yeah, but what if like a heavy flow day?
That's a legit question.
Cork and duct tape.
Cork and duct tape.
My string goes in your butt crack.
Oh, TMI.
Is there some television?
I never wear pants. Shut the fuck up.
Lots of people don't wear underwear.
Not a thing.
Lots of people. You don't get to be on TV because you don't wear underwear.
No, she gets to be on TV because she's got a hot body you'd like to see without underwear on it.
I feel like that's a legitimate lifestyle choice and it's not particularly noteworthy.
Yeah, it's Joan Rivers.
I call shenanigans, you guys. I'm going to... Please.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Whatever.
Shenanigans like you don't think that she really doesn't wear underwear,
yeah,
or you
no
think that
way.
Whole TV show should not exist, because I'm in the
well,
latter
maybe
camp.
Both, but no, I don't believe that she, and I mean, okay, and she may do it for this particular part of her of her life, but both cats got a shoe now?
Yeah.
It's a good thing they come in pairs.
Yeah. So let's actually,
cat's huffing the
let's
shoe
actually
right
listen
now.
To a little bit of this and not talk over it.
String, because you know how they're like shaking their booties and
yeah.
Stuff. I've been on music video sets and they just give it a little trim. That way it doesn't come out and embarrass you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Joan Rivers and the gay guy in the bright yellow sweater were very embarrassed by,
oh,
by
get
this.
Over it, guys.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh, underwear. That's scandalous. I can't even. So.
Wait.
Oh.
So she has to trim her. Oh, God, I can't believe I'm talking about this.
She has to trim her tampon strings.
So they don't come out and embarrass her? Like, she's wearing
dress,
outfits
yes,
that are so short
yes.
That, like, a 2-inch tampon string
yes.
Might... What? Okay, if you're wearing dresses that short, then not wearing underwear is not a legitimate
It's like a public
choice.
Sanitary thing. She could be sitting
yeah.
On the bus bench. I don't want to sit
Ew,
in her
you're right.
Sweaty, you know,
no, that's
imprint.
True.
And other bodily fluids.
I mean, yes. I went through much of my 20s not wearing underwear much of the time, but I did not wear mini skirts, you know? I don't know.
No, there you go.
Yeah.
Becca, no bra, no underwear. It was a very free time.
It
for
was
Becca
a very free time.
When you're
it
in
was.
Your 20s, you can do that.
Plus,
you save money on underwear.
That was a huge
laundry.
No lie, that is a huge part of it. When you have to walk to the laundromat, like your underwear.
Yeah.
I had so many clothes, but the underwear limit until the time that you need to do laundry, and so that was a huge factor.
No yeah. underwear limit for Becca in her 20s.
That's right.
None, and no one's stealing your panties. I mean, it was. The guys at college, the panty raids, were very disappointed.
Yeah, we didn't have those in UC Santa Cruz. Everybody was like too high to get that organized.
Well, and honestly, I think that's the thing of like Hollywood movie lore of what happened like in the 50s and 60s. I don't think that actually happened.
We also had no fraternities,
show.
So.
No, that happened.
Small town news.
I heard this song on the radio today and I was like, oh, Nate Darling Show.
There you go. We've owned it. Small town news coming into us from Plattsburgh, New York.
Yay!
It's not Gordy Little.
Aww.
No. Not this week.
Is it Susan Tobias?
It's not. It's Speak Out from
Yay!
August 15th.
That's everyone's favorite.
The cats were like, what's going on?
now they're wrestling
each other.
Now
they're making out.
On my shoe.
The first thing is called, it's titled Price. When Bush was president and gas was $1.80 a gallon, liberals were protesting high gas prices. Now, during Obama's presidency, gas is $4 a gallon. Not a peep, no outrage, no protest.
I don't think that's true.
High gas prices are hurting middle-class people more than anything else right now.
Did we decide the president has no control over gas prices?
We did decide that. And also, was it really $1.80? Are we talking about, like, the first Bush? Like
George Bush Jr.
No, it actually was when Bush took office. Just before the election, when Bush left office, it was $4.58.
Thanks, Obama.
So eat it, dick.
Obama.
Up next, fog. Fog lights are for driving and fog only. Police, take notice and write some tickets.
Yeah.
By the way, that's bullshit. You can turn your fog lights on anytime you want. I drive with mine on, so eat
Ooh,
it.
You should write to Speak Out.
Yeah. Eat it. this one's titled Lights Passing. If you want people to not block you, please put on your emergency lights.
What are these people talking about?
I have no idea.
It's like making up laws and rules.
And finally, parking. Do people living on North Catherine Street have a deal with the police not to ticket their cars parked in the street? Signs everywhere. Still, they park in the street with no cars in their driveways. This is dangerous during high traffic times. It's not.
Is it really?
No, not
like
not
having
really.
Cars parked. No.
That was a very vehicular themed.
It was. That's what's going on in Plattsburgh, New York. Lots of complaining about.
I feel like it was just one person.
Like a rant.
I think they went with a theme.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what they did. You can't really blame them for it. So that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. If you like the show, tell a friend, please. Share our humor, frivolity, and shenanigans with the world.
Ooh, and shop Amazon.
That was the next thing. The other thing you can do to help out the show is please, if you're going to shop Amazon, and we know you are because they've got a ton of stuff at great prices, things you can't necessarily get
it's
at the
true.
Little corner store.
It's true. I got my chili powder.
Yeah.
So we're going to have, like, fun chili night.
Yay.
I'll even
Yay.
Make it with no meat.
Ooh.
Yay! I can't Yay. Wait.
Woohoo.
So you got all that stuff. But if you're gonna shop Amazon, please go to NateDarlingShow.com first and click the Shop Amazon tab. It does not cost you anything extra. It helps support the show. It helps keep us giving you free entertainment, 2 free shows every single week. And free is awesome. So thank you for shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. If you do that, because we appreciate it.
We do.
And do it more, because yeah. we've got more stuff to do. We've got, I got a phone to pay for.
Two of us are unemployed right now.
Yeah, I mean, come on, guys.
I'm starting school in 3 weeks.
Gas is expensive.
Because of Obama.
Yeah, it's Obama. You know, we all have to deal with Obama and all that jazz. So that's going to do it. And as you're hearing this, I'm already on vacation.
Yay!
So,
vacation.
Are you having fun, Nate?
As you're hearing this, I'm probably, I'm somewhere near Portland, Oregon. Actually, I'm in Portland, Oregon. Wednesday, Portland, Oregon.
Nice.
That's I was right. going to ask you if you were going to have a voodoo donut, but you're not going to have a voodoo donut because you are clean living right now.
Yeah, I am not. My friend will be having a voodoo donut. I've had them before. So it's not like
I've never had one, so they seem amazing in my mind.
You know what? Go to Marie's Donuts and then get like a box of like Fruit Loops or something and stick them on a Marie's Donut, and there you go. Just
put a bacon on it.
That sounds worse than just a Marie's Donut. Sounds much better without
Marie's
Donut
is fantastic, but like
I love Marie's Donuts.
But Voodoo Donuts puts things on like one of the ones I had had Fruit Loops on the outside, and it sounds weird, but it was actually really, really good.
I love Fruit Loops. That's my favorite cereal. Fun fact.
A Fruit Loop is not a sprinkle. That was a Simpsons reference. Anyone? No? Okay.
Yeah, I remember that. It's also
Johnny
not...
Johnny Rancher is not a sprinkle.
It's also not an appropriate thing to call a flamboyant gay person.
A Mounds Bar is
not
a sprinkle.
I just want to leave with that.
Good.
Anyway, you have a good one. We'll see you on Friday with a fresh new show. Until then, enjoy One Direction and the best song ever. Or so they say. Bye.
Bye.
Song ever. It was your best song ever.